Mr. Herman.
Poop again!
Party on, dude!
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
And I said, no, I said, he's a man child.
Yes.
What's a man child? I said, it's like kind of like someone who's never grown up. But mm-hmm. I mean, Pee-wee does seem to have some semblance of responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, he has his own house.
It's just seen
he
as
he does
like,
water his lawn.
Yeah.
He's got some things that he does do.
He has this world of Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'd have to be somewhat smart to do that.
That's kind of like the joke, bud.
Yeah.
It's like he's a grown man who's acting like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of didn't know how to explain. Because they're like, they know that he's not a regular person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But yet he has a functioning life. And so it's like, well, he's just kind of a funny guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like he said. And then they went on to something else. Is Francis rich? Yes.
Yes.
Francis is he bad? Rich. What do you think?
Is he bad? Francis is busy. Busy doing what?
He's having his bath.
Oh, really? Where are they hosing him down?
Because the butler is in Three Ninjas.
Yes,
exactly.
He is.
Professor Toru
and
Tanaka.
Actually, I noticed that for the first time the other day. I was that's the guy.
Yeah. Yep. So welcome back in, everybody, to the Radcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Matt.
Thank you for tuning in last week, if you did, to when we talked about The Marine.
Yes.
The John Cena movie.
Fun episode.
Yeah, we riffed it.
I like any opportunity we get to talk about wrestling. I like talking about wrestling.
I do, too. Yeah. It's something that whether we've watched it obsessively like we did mm-hmm. in junior high or, you know, watched it every week like we did just as recently as a few years ago or we've been in and out of it. It'll always be threaded into our lives somehow.
And if you're out there and you're not into wrestling, we don't talk about it that much.
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, we've had a couple.
John Cena is the main guy.
We've had a couple wrestling centric episodes, but we try not to make it the main thing.
Yeah. But if there's a demand for it, I mean, maybe we'll start a Patreon, and one of our Patreon episodes is you and I wrestling.
Yeah. we'll put lotion on each other or oil and wrestle.
Yeah.
And all
we're not going to film it.
No.
That's just for you.
Theater of the mind. Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind to see. This is how radio shows work.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you for joining us this week when we are talking about a childhood cult classic, which
celebrating a special anniversary,
celebrating its 30th anniversary from the time. So we're recording this on July 29th. Next Friday will be July 5th.
Yeah,
which is a mere 2 days before its 30th anniversary, which is August 7th.
Great timing.
Yeah. So it was.
You know what you're doing.
It was by design. Let me tell you, this is the first time it's worked out like that when doing a movie to celebrate.
A lot of them are like, it's kind of a belated anniversary.
It's celebrated 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But this one we will be releasing right before its 30th anniversary.
Oh, it's The Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
A movie I feel like everyone grew up with at some point.
I have it in here like when at these times in our lives as children when we have certain interests in certain things. This, especially for our guest, I can imagine hit right in that pocket.
Yeah.
And also to a lot of our other listeners who may be a tad bit older than we are, hit them right in one of those childhood sweet spots.
Yeah.
I mean, it did for us too,
because
it played on cable and television and everything. And we found it. And we're going to be talking about it. Before we get into that, why don't you let everyone know where they can still find
us? Yes, you can find us as far as social media goes. We are just on Instagram right now. We're at The Radcast. It's cast spelled with a K. Radcast is all – The Radcast is all one word.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, might get Twitter. I don't know.
In the
meantime, if it's a Twitter or a Facebook, I'll probably just promote on my personal page.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get to see it because I'm a very private person. No, that's not true.
Get on with it.
Sorry. but any and all podcast apps and wherever applicable, please rate and review.
Mm-hmm.
And if you also would like to message us on social media,
mean?
I was trying to find the words.
Okay.
Our listeners make me so nervous. If you can find us, you can also message us on Instagram. When you find us on Instagram, just to tell us if you like it or if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever.
We just want to hear from you.
Yeah. We just want to know that people are listening, mm-hmm. whether it's about our archives or about this episode, because yes. we're going to get into the Three Ninjas on this edition of Radcast Rentals.
Make it a blockbuster night.
And now, our feature presentation.
Now, before I give kind of the down mm-hmm. the down low of everything, chill out. We'll get to you. But
I can hear your arms waving.
For those of you that have been with us since the very beginning, or if you've ever gone through our archives and started from the beginning, mm-hmm. you may have seen that our first ever episode with a guest was with our brother. Tyler Strickland, mm-hmm. Just one of our closest buddies, longtime friend who's been on here several times, and he's mm-hmm. been on Sucktastic Cinema. We talked about 90s ninja movies.
Yeah.
It was our second and, I guess, third episode. It's parts one and two.
Yeah.
And in part two, we talked about Three Ninjas and Surf Ninjas, mm-hmm. which both, I think we even said at the time,
They deserve deep dives,
but we wanted to touch upon them with our dear friend Tyler, who loves them as much as we do.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about this, but it was one of those things to where we hadn't watched it in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So we were just going off of memory, and then at a later date we watched it, and we were like, we didn't talk about this, and we didn't talk about this and this. So we shelved a deeper dive mm-hmm. episode. Until the perfect time, which is right now. And also a little foreshadowing, Surf Ninjas is celebrating 30 years next year, 2023. So be on the lookout.
That one's already in the works.
Episode. That one, we're already in the works on who we're going to talk to with that one.
Ernie Race Jr.
God, I wish.
I'll reach out to him.
Yeah.
Silly C.
Yeah, sure. Why not? But
I still look. It's not. I was joking.
That would be phenomenal, though. I was so excited.
Yeah.
Can I be there?
And then we'd swerve and talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Secret of the
Who cares?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Talk about everything.
Exactly. Wow. Oh,
While we have you here, let's talk about The Last Dragon.
Yeah,
because seriously. That was our series finale
of Sucktastic Cinema.
Yeah.
But I know we said we already have who we're going to talk about with Surf Ninjas, but let's tell you who we're going to talk about Three Ninjas. With... us. I completely had a brain fart.
Decorated guest on any of our podcasts.
If you've been listening to us for this long, you know when he was on Sucktastic back in October, we celebrated him and gave him a nice trophy as a 10-time podcast.
I still
guest.
Have it.
Thank you.
Use it to unclog your toilet.
I do. It doesn't work great, but the toilet or that.
We just go outside.
But I got to put it to use.
Yeah.
But he is a regular mm-hmm. on this show. We had him on a couple times on Sucktastic. Had him on Proper Gentleman Podcast, mm-hmm. our first show, making his return. That we've returned with the Radcast
2.0, baby.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Weed.
Hi, guys.
Jeremy James Weed. JJ Weed.
Yeah.
As he likes to be called.
Yes. These are all true things.
Did anyone ever call you JJ growing up?
We've talked about this actually before. You probably have forgotten, though, but it's been a while.
Not because of my first and middle name, but because I used to go, Kyle Mike!
JJ's not that. There have been several people that have said, your middle name is James. Can I call you JJ? And that's fine.
Yeah.
And then nobody, like, they instantly
and
forget.
They forget.
And I don't think that's, I would not mind if I was called JJ. I don't think I look like a JJ.
That's,
if anybody was to, also, I had a JJ that was on my bus. He was a bully and he was awful.
Oh, that
he
feels
was,
more like a
he
JJ.
He was awful. And I was like, you're a JJ.
He was definitely
jerk.
A JJ.
You look like a Carlos.
Thanks.
No, you look more like a Jeff Trackius.
You look very nondescript.
You kind of look like a lizard person.
You look like a Zeb Trotrius.
I look like Wooly Willy in that I'm just template guy.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I am. Just you're filling face the blank. Template.
You're like Sam McMurray or the dad from Don't Wake Daddy.
Yeah. That's almost perfect.
Yeah. Nondescript. Very nice. Amorphous.
White dude.
Couldn't pick you out of a lineup.
Probably not.
Average white guy.
Yeah. When I shave, especially like that's the guy with the beard now. But like if you just
You're the default created person on a video game.
Yes. Yeah.
The NPC, as they say in internet culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love to have him on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's perfect because your personality shines through and they don't have to look at you.
Yes, perfect. That's why I love
it. It's audio medium, you see. It's an audio medium.
By the way, I just noticed you got more ink on.
Oh, yeah.
It's filled in more since the last time I saw you.
You got
an audio tattoo.
Got
I love
some
that.
Eyeballs. You all can't see this, but I have a tattoo sleeve in the works, and it's the Muppets as the old school Universal Movie Monsters. And yeah, I got Sam Eagle in as
did you
Phantom
did you
of the
request
Opera.
Those eyeballs or did he like? Well, obviously you requested the whole thing.
I'm just gonna add some eyeballs.
You know, I'm gonna take some creative liberties.
Yeah, no, but was that from the beginning?
That it's one of those that I had a lot of ideas that are being done, but still workshopping some things.
Yeah,
and it was kind of in discussion, like how are we gonna fill in some of these spaces?
Okay,
and so that was his creative decision.
Oh, I like that.
The eyeballs, not only there, but looking suspiciously at the characters,
and they're Muppet eyeballs.
Yeah,
which I love.
Small detail.
Like they're not.
Yeah.
Like if you could just put eyeballs in there, but that they're not just a typical.
Oh yeah.
Eyeball.
Yeah.
When I say Muppet eyeballs, everybody that has seen Muppets knows exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about.
Exactly.
I know exactly what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
But yeah,
I've got more work done.
Speaking, you know, kind of in
looking
line
good.
With
Thank
the Muppets,
you.
Jeremy is here. In line with the Muppets and in line
yes.
with Disney,
yes.
this movie was distributed by Disney, yep. the Three Ninjas.
Is
so,
it Touchstone or is it Hollywood?
Touchstone.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep. Okay. So I'll give a little rundown
yeah.
of the movie. Jeremy, you're familiar with how we conduct mm-hmm. these movie reviews. We carried some stuff over from Sucktastic, including what's on the VHS. So we'll
yes.
get to that here in a second.
Yep.
But Three Ninjas, like we said, was released August 7th, 1992, directed by John Turtletub, who he's directed While You Were Sleeping, the National Treasure
Two
movies.
Two Turtletubs in the Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Exactly. Cool Runnings.
Oh,
Phenomenon
yeah.
with John Travolta.
Oh,
and
I
you
didn't
know
he did Cool Runnings.
And you know his first movie? It was a movie called Think Big
uh-huh.
with the Barbarian Brothers.
Yeah.
Two
oily,
sitters.
Oily
yeah.
muscled, mulleted
yep.
Twins
yeah.
who were in a lot of just B
really
and C action movies. But they have a movie called Twin Sitters, which is so charming.
It is. It really is.
They,
it's
at
not
least
good.
They're charming.
Yeah.
They just do whatever they want. It,
yeah.
You guys put it. Because I watched it with you.
Yeah.
And you put it exactly how it. Because I was like, I don't understand their characters because mm-hmm. they just. And you both are like, they just do what they want to do.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
wear what they want to wear.
That's exactly
yeah.
it, I guess. Yeah.
They drive a monster truck as
there's
their
no
main mode of transportation.
There's no rhyme or reason to their
no.
characters.
The woman they're dating, yep. goes out on a date with one brother, kisses him goodnight, and then goes on a date with
they're
another brother.
They're both okay mm-hmm. with both sharing her.
Yes. yeah. Yep.
They just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. it's yeah.
funny.
It's
bizarre, but
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. It's different than the brothers in this movie.
Yes.
The movie stars Victor Wong as Grandpa Maury.
They all share Emily.
Yeah.
Yes.
We all love Emily.
We all love Emily.
That's not
we
the chant.
We all love
Emily.
It's weird.
Emily.
So Victor Wong is Grandpa Maury. Michael Trainor is Rocky. Max Elliott Slade is Colt. Chad Power is Tum Tum. Rand Kingsley is Snyder. Alan McRae is Sam Douglas. Margarita Franco is Jessica Douglas with her parents. Kate Sargent as the aforementioned Emily. Joel Sweetow as Brown.
Brown?
Yeah. We talked about another Brown in
yeah.
Camp Rock episode.
Uh-huh.
With Professor Toru Tanaka as Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Laborto as Fester. Race Nelson as Marcus and DJ Harder as Hammer.
Best characters.
Yeah.
In the
box
whole movie.
Box office of $29 million on a $6 million budget. And let's talk about what was on the VHS,
please,
real quick. So coming soon to VHS, Captain Ron.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
With
I
Martin
love
Short
Captain
and
Ron.
Kurt Russell.
Oh.
Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Doing 30th anniversary of that.
Yeah.
On the
I,
show.
Think, I think
yeah.
on there. I think on there it was coming to theaters. Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
Okay.
And then since Disney in this time just acquired Jim Henson,
mm-hmm.
like Jim Henson Studios, an advertisement to own the Muppet movie on VHS. Oh,
I remember those advertisements.
So,
yeah,
so it's funny you guys were talking about the Muppets. Yeah. We were talking about the Muppets. We'll take any chance we get to talk
about the
Muppets.
That's the thing. When the three of us hang out, there's like three things that are constant.
Yeah.
And it's always some like it's always like Halloween, the Muppets, or other things. Fill in the
those
blank.
Those are my three favorites.
Things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're always talking about like Halloween or the Muppets whenever the three of us
for
hang
sure.
out.
Yeah. For sure.
So three ninjas. Jeremy, we mentioned here, I think we mentioned a few episodes, you're a few years older than us, so when this came out, this hit more in your wheelhouse.
I was
talking
seven.
About, so.
Saw it in the theater.
Yeah, so
really?
I was going to ask if you did, I was going to ask kind of your first time seeing it. Generally, as kids, the three wheelhouses that, you know, kids tend to have are cartoons, superheroes, and especially this time, ninja stuff, like in the early and mid-90s, which is around when we were, you know, younger and 7, 8 years old in the late 90s. And then for you, here in the early 90s, like you just said, so you saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did because I remember at that time being seven and being a boy that was full of energy and boys when they see ninja things, which this is, by the way, this is how I rate a good old fashioned ninja movie for kids. If after the movie, the kids are doing ninja moves on each other, that's a good tell. Which my kids, by the way, so you'll be happy to know I was not able to watch the movie last night, but I've seen it several times in the last few months. And after introducing my kids to it, and so they are on their way to Texas. The first movie after they watched like a half hour of like the Lego movie, which they got tired of, they wanted to watch Three Ninjas
in
the car.
That's awesome.
And that's what they watched, and they love it, and they are all about it, and they do ninja moves on each other. So anyway, sorry, this is a long segue.
No, that is okay.
But because that is a thing, because that is a very prevalent thing that you guys are well aware of. I mean, Power Rangers, Ninja
Power
Turtles.
Rangers, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're doing all these things on each Karate Kid.
We had friends
all that.
Who, like, their parents cited us as specific examples as to why they wouldn't let their
kids
watch
can't
Power
do that. They're, it's
like
a violent
the
thing.
The Websters are always constantly trying to do karate moves on each other. You're not going to watch that.
Well,
more
also,
for me, baby.
Well, you the appeal for you, too, because you grew up with Ninja Turtles as
well.
So you were of that age with cartoons and ninja stuff to where when the Turtles came on the scene, you were probably obsessed with that, too.
That was the thing, is my two favorite shows on TV were Ninja Turtles at the time and The Real Ghostbusters. So I was watching both of those. And my parents were just concerned because violence, you know. And this is during the time where they were like, well, shows on TV, they're starting to be more violent. Mm-hmm. You need to watch your kids. And it was kind of that big conservative kind of outpouring of like everything on TV
is crap. You know
what
your kids are watching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I remember needing permission from my parent and like trying to figure out, hey, can I go see this movie? And my parents are like, oh, I don't know. Like I just, and you know, them asking around and well, I don't know if you're allowed to.
Rigmarole.
Yeah. And I finally got permission. So I think I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater. If not, it was like almost immediately after when it got on video, but I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
I just, it's so long ago. I remember being on that bandwagon and I, you know, after watching it my first time, it's kind of like, I don't really know how to describe it. It's like seeing one of those seminal films that just have such a profound impact on your life.
Oh, yeah.
And you can think back, you're like, oh my gosh, that was the best thing I'd ever seen at that point.
And it may not always be like the movie itself.
Right.
But everything in your life at that point, it feels so new.
It was. That's a perfect encapsulation of what that time was. It was it was a great time.
Yeah.
It was 92. 92 was when it came out.
Summer of 92.
Yeah.
So, well,
that
it,
was,
yeah, like, yeah,
there were
summer
so many things that were out at that time. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Batman Returns, like, came out in 1992.
That's what, I was remembering so much advertising from so many things during that time. I remember the Batman Returns commercials and the toys so vividly during that time. But I loved that movie so much. And I was never allowed to own it because of the content, even though I had seen it already.
Yeah, I thought I saw it.
But my, I don't know, my parents were very conservative about certain things and wouldn't let me own certain things. Yeah. And so for whatever, they're like, you can watch it, but I don't want you watching it all the time because I don't know. I guess
that's fair. Yeah.
The reasoning is if you're going to watch it, and you have access to it.
Yeah.
You're going to be more and more likely to do these ninja moves.
It's always so funny. Like at that point, and this is just real brief about like safeguarding your kids, and their mode of doing that was just keeping them from watching things, listening to things, when there's a lot of things from like, I get it, but also like there's a conversation to be had. You can compromise and let them do it, but also like owning it, if anything, you can regulate it better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just so strange to me that it's like you can watch it, but you can't own it. Like, wait, isn't the watching the part that you're worried about?
I mean, if we owned it, I feel like, I don't know, because you have greater access to it, I guess I understand. But as a parent, I mean, you could, you know, my grandparents had like a video case that you could just basically shut and lock it. And they had a key and I didn't know where the key was. And so like, I guess you could do that.
Mm-hmm. It requires you to
buy a piece of furniture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not my money. It's my parents' money. Yeah. You go buy it.
There's also the danger of this movie, and we'll probably get into it as it was fun for kids, but also showed kids, like, if you just know karate, you can beat up anybody, even adults.
It's very fantastical. Yeah. It's very much like an idealized thing for kids, which, I mean, it goes to show that, like, I don't know how much, it seems like kind of an arbitrary number, but there were the producers and the distributor, which Disney picked it up. I don't know if it was Disney getting these letters, but Disney was getting thank you letters from karate studio owners and dojo owners because the enrollment for kids spiked
100%.
It's like the Top Gun effect. Navy enrollment Navy enlistment went up 200% after Top Gun came out.
You know what's interesting about this movie is I remember this as, if not the first, one of the first times of remembering, if you don't see this, you're not cool.
Especially for a seven-year-old.
Everybody my age, that was a boy, went to go see this movie as a kid. And if you didn't, did you go see Three Ninjas? Oh my, remember that part that, you know, and you talk about it at school.
It was like the water cooler
This
thing.
Is like, like for kids. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see this, then it was like this and Dennis the Menace. I remember both of those. Were two very like, as a kid, you ain't cool if you ain't seen these.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Because you got nothing to connect with anybody or talk to them about, at least for a little, maybe for that first semester of the school year, because it's like, you didn't see it over the summer? Like,
that's something that's not talked about. They did an episode on Recess about this, that is such a kid, and this is why I love Recess, is because
the cartoon
is because they kind of captured a lot of things, how you looked at the world there's an episode where one kid doesn't see Vince, he doesn't a movie, and all the other kids had, and they're all quoting it and everything, and he kind of feels left out. He's like, oh, and then finally he goes and sees it. And then he's quoting it all the next week.
Yeah.
But it's like all the kids have moved on to something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just, that's kind of how this was.
Yeah. I don't know, when you're a kid, that's the end of the world. Well, because you can't drive. It's like, I'll just go. You can't just go see it.
Yeah.
You have to wait.
I'm trying to think if there was anything like that, at least from about fourth grade on, for us, because
in terms of like fear of like missing out,
like you fear of missing out, or people would be like, oh, you're not cool if you haven't seen this or that. I know for sure, definitely, in the heat of the Attitude Era, everybody in our grade watched wrestling, with the WCW and WWF Monday Night Wars. So like, I think that was something, but I can't think of anything else.
Waterboy.
And really?
I remember Little Nicky kind of feeling left out because like everyone in my fifth grade class was like quoting
Little Nicky.
Grand Theft Auto, Vice City.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. That.
Yeah.
And San Andreas, both those games, because everyone kept talking about it. And I was like, I can't, it's rated M, I can't play it.
Right.
But Mortal Kombat, Annihilation.
Was it
not
9?
Annihilation? No. One of the games.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, I think.
I think it might have been Deadly Alliance.
There were a couple, but definitely
Armageddon, maybe.
Maybe. I definitely remember Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either Vice City or San Andreas was the one where I was like, I really want to play that, but I can't. Yeah.
I remember Three Ninjas was something that, because I think we've said numerous times across all of our podcasts that unless we owned it, because if we owned it, we would watch it all the time. Like whether or not it was something Matt and I like bought with like Christmas or birthday money.
Renting it quite a bit, though.
Yeah. And it, on the other end of it, because I know sometimes we can be like, well, I never saw it growing up because I didn't watch it a lot. Mm-hmm. On the other end of it, though, we did rent movies a lot.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
Our place was Hollywood Video. Like we would go to Blockbuster like every now and then when we lived close to one, but we lived closer to a Hollywood Video when we moved in the fourth grade. So we rented this, Kickback, and High Noon and Mega Mountain a lot. But this one was different because it looks like a theatrical release of a movie. It's still within the scope of the Three Ninjas because I've seen all of them like so many times, and like and two looks this way too, but like definitely Knuckle Up and High Noon and Mega Mountain look like straight to video movies or made for TV movies.
Yeah.
You know, some of like the music, you're like, this feels like it's straight to video movie, but it was theatrically released.
Yeah.
But also in terms of quality, like the delivery of some of the jokes and the comedic timing and these characters and some of the risque things and there's more like the violence is more kind of menacing a little bit.
It's like we'll tone it down. We're gonna write for kids like they're adults.
Yeah.
And then it's still gonna be kid friendly. Yeah. But we're gonna sneak some things in there.
Because of all that, as a 10 and 11 year old kid, when we did rent it a lot and rewatched it a bunch. That's why the first one stuck out more to us, and we wanted to watch that one more. And then finally, we got around to owning it and watched a lot more as adults.
I have a cool story that I just remembered as you were talking about video rentals and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not my story. It's our brother, Andrew, who's been on the show.
He's been
going to be on more.
He's going to be on more.
Hey, Andy.
Hey,
Andy.
Hi, Andy. I was watching with him last night because he stayed at my place last night. And we were watching it, and he was like, man, I remember me and Nathan, one of his buddies was named Nathan Drake. And he's like, me and Nathan Drake walked up to Shop and Save by our house. And they had, like where we used to live, and they had video rental. And we rented this movie.
Nice.
And I remember watching it with them. And I was like, that's such a cool memory.
That's awesome.
Someone like who lived it. Because Jeremy, you and Andrew are the same age. You're actually like a week apart.
I'm a smidge older than him.
Yeah.
I think he's the 11th.
He's
right?
the 11th.
You're a week and a half.
You guys
older.
Are 10 days apart from one.
Yeah.
But you talking about like you personally experiencing this. When he said that, I was like, that's a really cool memory.
That's what I love is getting that different perspective from people. Like when we had our buddy Joe Gilbert on for 90s hockey, when the 1990s started, he was 7 and he was in the formidable age.
Yeah.
That's why I love getting that different perspective because we can talk about like a lot of people who listen to this who maybe watched it on cable or on one of the movie channels, rented it from a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or Family Video or their grocery store, video store.
I love that.
And that, I know. But it's just, I love the different perspective from people who saw it in theaters or who when it first came out on VHS or when you could see, like you go and see, I don't know, Batman Returns, and you see the movie poster of like coming soon. Like, and I love getting that perspective.
Like, because we were alive, and we were a year old.
We were a year old.
You would never remember.
We turned one.
Yeah.
4 days before this movie came out.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, Three Ninjas being advertised, or was it one of those things to where it's one. I guess it was Disney, and then a big studio, so they would have advertised.
I think this may be Mandela effect a little bit, but I remember the commercials. They definitely had the previews on TV, which they don't have as much anymore. Mm-hmm. You just don't see trailers much on TV.
Everybody
for kids movies like this, like a family movie like this,
Like
they do for cartoons, like the big tentpole releases.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
run of the mill family movies, they generally don't do that anymore. But I remember this, and I want to say that there was a tie-in with Pizza Hut, maybe, because there's pizza in the movie.
Yeah,
I
would believe it. Well, pizza because, for us.
And I don't know why. I don't know why this is, but I think it's very. And I think it's probably very Ninja Turtle-y.
Yeah.
But I think if you remember, there's several ninja movies that also have the presence of pizza.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Which is ironic, but also like, huh. You know, I never noticed that until you start kind of pulling back on you know, on that thread.
It's definitely post.
Like, oh yeah, that does happen a lot.
Post Ninja Turtles because that connection was there. Because
Domino's was in the first Ninja Turtles movie. Come on, I can find the place.
Maybe it was Domino. I don't know. I vaguely I don't know. Talking about it just now, I'm like, wasn't there a pizza ad somewhere with them? I'm pretty sure there was. Somehow, maybe it was Noble Romans.
You know, Little Caesars. If I was on YouTube and I found like a local pizza commercial, but they were promoting Three Ninjas, I was like, this is one of the most 90s things I've ever seen.
I don't know. After this, I'm going to look it up. I want to look for it maybe and see because I that kind of snapped something. But yeah.
That would be awesome.
I guess on the topic of like things being different, obviously times change.
Yeah.
Things will change with, you know, that includes kind of the media we consume. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there aren't movies like this made anymore for kids.
Yeah.
And I know for those of you listening, it's said ad nauseum that sentiment of
people don't make movies like that. Yeah.
People between the ages of 25 and 40 or 25 and 35, Gen X and millennials, stuff like that. Definitely in like from like earlier millennials.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the sentiment of, oh, they don't make movies like this anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't make kids. I mean, they really don't. Maybe I'm out of the loop of what kids movies are made and whatever. I feel like it's from what I see, it's a lot of kids movies that, you know, they don't seem to get it right with like putting in like clever dialogue and granted the acting isn't fantastic in this movie, especially like the kids. I love as an adult rewatching it, seeing just how good the comedic timing is and the delivery is for a lot of the lines.
For something like this, we mentioned it before, usually you all have seen the movie, so we don't but comedic timing when Rocky and the boys get back from Grandpa's house, and it's Rocky and Emily, and you know Rocky likes Emily, but he doesn't like that his brothers are like, ooh, Rocky loves. And he's like, no,
Rocky loves Emily.
Yeah, that makes it. And Tum Tum's just sitting in the back of the car, and they keep going to him, and he's just like, he's not saying anything. Rocky and Emily are just having this kind of awkward conversation. Yeah. He's just kind of looking back and forth.
Yeah.
He's like licorice in his mouth.
Yeah, he's got like the side-eyed glances. Yeah. And he's not saying anything. It's just the visual gag.
And then just like the nonverbal of like, you know, Rocky says something lame and Tum Tum just rolls his eyes.
Yeah. And it's he like gets out of the car and he looks at him and he's like, bye.
And just bye.
Or like
he's
after
not even a
delivery,
part of the conversation.
The delivery of it.
Like
there's a scene, there are scenes where like the music, like the score's playing, and then like there's a stop in the score, and he's like, sorry, it stinks.
Yeah,
this is good.
And maybe it's just us picking up liking that delivery thing, and it's funny. But like it's those like the indignance of that the kind of the sorry it stinks or like kind of like the snide or kind of like
somebody's gonna get a ticket.
Yeah.
Shut up. Not you.
And then like the implementing of like the side characters, like the bumbling crooks.
You're fine. I feel like there's no middle ground in the spectrum. And again, I could be totally wrong and off base. I don't have kids to where I can partake in kids' movies now. But I feel like stuff like this maybe is made. Maybe it's made like animated or it's those Lego movies or whatever. But I feel like anything involving kids now is either something like super crass towards them dropping F-bombs and they're getting – they're like
not for kids.
Or it's like some lame like B movie like you find that's like exclusive to Amazon or Netflix.
We're trying to make everything seem super realistic, so it try to be gritty or something
seems,
like that.
It just seems different. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And again,
or they think kids are dumb and like they wouldn't get these kinds of jokes.
It, or how much, Jeremy, I don't know how many like new kids stuff that Joshua and Jack watch or Naomi watches. Yeah. But like, does it seem like any of that stuff is anything like they consume it and then they like they want to watch it over and over again, or they're like, that's great. Like, I want to be a ninja. I want to do that or this.
In terms of new stuff.
Yeah, in terms of new stuff. Is there any sort of that appeal you feel like?
You know, there's not a lot of things that I know of that they like that's new that we've shown them as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's Marvel stuff and that kind of stuff that's like superhero. But we have not shown them that.
Yeah.
They're aware of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything Batman or anything like that, we're getting close. We're getting close to the threshold, and what we try to do, rather than just jump into special effect, let's watch the newest Batman ones. Yeah. Like, we're gonna show them the 1980 ones.
Yes.
We want them to see. Not 1980, but the 1989.
It was probably in development in 80 at some point.
Now, we showed them, what did we show? We showed them the Batman movie from the 1960s
with Adam West.
And they liked that.
Yeah.
They thought it was goofy. They asked me the other day, they said, can we watch that again? Sure.
It's great. It transcends.
You know, it's great. But it's like a good starter movie. Mm-hmm. This is silly.
Yeah.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. And it makes them familiar with the characters.
Yeah.
That way they kind of get a good idea of what's to come.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that I've seen that's, you know what a lot of the stuff is that they watch that they like? And not even just that they like, but just stuff that I've noticed with kids programming nowadays and family programming. It's just very overly kinetic. Mm-hmm. Everything is moving constantly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's made for it. Like, it's almost like these are made for kids with short attention
span. Somebody always has to be talking.
Or we're going to create it, and it's I don't know if it's for kids with attention spans that are really small or if it's made to create that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it almost promotes it more than it is made for it, if it makes sense. But it's really crap, a lot of it.
Yeah.
it's all the same stuff. It's fart jokes. It's silliness. It's over the top. It's loud. It's obnoxious. It's in your face. Like, I mean, this case in point, like I said, they were watching the Lego movie before this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you've watched, I loved the Lego movie when it first came out.
Yeah,
I saw it in theaters. I liked it.
On subsequent watches, it becomes more and more grating.
Yeah,
because
I get
it's so over the top and blasts you with stuff
everyone
constantly.
Everyone slow down.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't watch it anymore because it's just like, you are just like assaulting me.
Yeah, that's how comedy got
too
for
much.
A little bit was like people prided themselves on improv-ing things.
Yeah.
And it's like, you realize this gives no space for visual gags, no space for us as the audience
there's
to pick up
as a joke. There's no timing.
Because it's a repeated effort of laugh at this. This is funny. You should be laughing at this. It's like, I want to determine what's funny.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me what I think is funny. And I've tried to put my finger on not just Three Ninjas, but other kids' movies. Like, they were marketed as kids' movies, but you watch them, like, there's a lot for adults in here.
Yeah.
But that's... It's always refreshing to go back to that, and it's like this, and you're all that, and you're Keenan and Kells and stuff. I've always tried to put like my finger on it, trying to be non-biased, typical rose-colored glasses, nostalgia, millennial. It's like, I grew up watching it. That's why it's great. And I just keep coming to the fact that, like I said before, it's these people who aren't insulting kids' intelligence.
Yeah.
They're like, this is a kid's movie. Kids are in it. With all that, you had a lot of like – comedy writers on that show that just wrote for adults, and it just happened to be kids doing it.
Yeah.
They didn't go too crazy. It's like, you can do this stuff in moderation.
Yeah.
Kids aren't stupid. Like, we picked up on a lot of this shit. Yeah.
Right. Well, I feel like a lot of it comes down to the writing being not as strong.
Yeah.
I think nowadays writing is just a lot
have
weaker.
To be. Yeah.
Well, right. Well, and I think a lot of it, honestly, comes from the... our age of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything can be entertaining in social media nowadays.
That's the thing.
It's like
overexposure of everything.
It's way too much everything. And like, there's so many shows and so many videos that get views. It's just crap. It's not very good.
Yeah.
It's just people that are entitled and like, well, I want to be a video star. And it's like, but the writing's no good, but they get videos because either it's goofy or it off the wall, or it doesn't have to be, or because of editing. It's like, well, but there's no comedic timing there. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's almost like you have to be just funny without having any kind of sort of comedic timing. Whereas like I said, like, comedic timing has a big place in a lot of how these movies are written.
There's a lot of flash, no substance.
And, and that's, it's so, that's why, and that's the thing is, this is Three Ninjas. This isn't high art, but it's still.
It's not Shakespeare.
No, but it's still evergreen. Your kids are, you watched it. Your kids are watching it. My friend Kelsey, her son walks around the house saying, Rocky loves
Emily. My kids do too,
Because like, how many newer kids' movies do you remember and are super rewatchable? It just feels like a factory.
The other day, I said, oh, give it to Jack. He'll eat anything or something. Something like, he's like, I won't eat dog poop.
Great. There's a reason that even like the cult classics are remembered and still being passed down and watching them and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I know we haven't talked about the actual movie.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine.
I'm sorry if I was part of that.
No. You're good.
I don't want this to devolve into a, well, it's better because I grew up with it.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
I try and have a non-bias.
There's value and merit to what kids watch now. And again, I don't come from that world. I don't have kids to where even I get a, like, even... in an idea of what they're watching, and there are things that they'll look back fondly on. But what I'm just saying, there what I will say is there's something to that.
Oh yeah,
the fact that this is about to be 30 years old, and it's still it's still, like you said, it's evergreen.
Yeah,
even if we showed this or kids now who didn't have parents who ever watched watched it now, I think there's the appeal there as well because of those, I said earlier, those wheelhouses that spark interest and imagination from kids, and that's action, and action for kids is, we're not going to give them guns, we're not going to give them knives, we're not going to give them weapons. What we will give them, we'll give them karate. We
got a Home Alone shit.
And things they can improvise as weapons, because I think that's one of the appeals too that helps. Mm-hmm. It's like, the ingenuity.
Yeah.
Like, ingenuity has staying power, too.
That's why, like, when we... I'm trying to contextualize these scenes, but I'm realizing we have to go a while back. But whenever, when they're... Assuming you've seen the movie, in the scene where the Fester and his friends, they go to kidnap them, and Rocky realizes, like, Dad locked up all our weapons, or took away all our weapons. Yeah. Like, well, we're just gonna have to figure it out, and they just use their surroundings, and they do things that kids would do.
Mm-hmm. They're ninjas.
They're ninjas.
Yes. They use their surroundings.
You use your surroundings. Exactly. It's cool because one thing that's cool too about this movie, and we'll get to like the movie itself, and like briefly
going over the synopsis.
I don't really care about like media like today.
It's
for the birds.
There's stuff for people who it's geared towards, not for me, and that's okay. I just want to get that across. All, that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you want to like.
Yeah.
Just as long as you're not hurting anybody or yourself.
Yep.
But the movie essentially follows three kids who are between the ages of probably like 7 or 8.
Tom's got to be like 8.
He's like 8. Like 12. And like, it's tough because Rocky and Colt look like they're the same age. Yeah. But like Colt, they got to be at least just 9 months apart.
Yeah.
But
Irish twins.
Let's say between the ages of 8 and 12.
Rocky's probably about
the three brothers.
He's probably about 13 or 12.
Yeah.
And then Colt is probably 11.
Either way, it's these three brothers who have a grandpa who is a karate master, and they go up to his place for the summer.
So it's ninjutsu, but they don't use ninjutsu in the movie. They use karate.
Right.
But it's a small, no one would know the difference.
But it's these three kids who part
of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a. I didn't even take martial arts. I just read it on IMDb.
Also, part of the fun and the appeal is they get ninja names.
Yep.
Oh yes.
So they get Samuel is Rocky, mm-hmm. and Jeffrey yeah. is Colt, and
Michael
is Tum Tum. Yeah. And it's these cool meanings behind it, and it also gives their grandpa a chance to give his wisdom, which comes mm-hmm. into play later in the movie.
His their dad doesn't like that he's teaching them karate.
Their dad is an right. FBI agent.
He's an FBI agent.
He's trying to track down. Yeah, exactly. He's trying to track down Snyder, who's like this arms dealer, like mm-hmm. drug kingpin.
Who guy. I would always get mixed up with Terry Silver.
Terry Silver.
I said the same thing. I didn't get mixed up, but I was like, who's this Terry Silver looking motherfucker?
Yeah, they look so similar.
Yeah,
in their
do.
Styles
they
and
do.
Aesthetic, like down to the white suit.
The thing is, Terry Silver, he's. Terry Silver is
a Karate Kid Part 3 for anyone.
Karate Kid Part 3. Or he's also in the newest Cobra Kai season, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I believe.
I haven't watched any of it, but they've been getting a lot of the old actors. Yeah.
But Terry Silver is like charismatic and charming, and like he actually is convincing when he pretends to be a good guy, like to help Danny or to Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he turns on him.
Yeah.
Like, There's menace there.
Yeah.
Snyder has some of that menace, but he's also a threat. He is a threat, but he's also like super over the top.
He's very theatrical.
Yeah, he's kind of an out and out bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there is no question who the bad guy is. Yeah, it's just like
it's a great line.
Yeah, he even says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like he is a stereotypical bad guy.
Yeah,
he just
but
is.
Yeah. He kind of, for me, he kind of like just misses that bar of like being like lovable and chewing the scenery because like his flight. So in some parts, like
tear out your liver.
Like the way he is theatrical, like and sometimes the way his voice fluctuates, like Samuel Douglas's kids. He hates ninja. Like it's like,
then he's like Maury.
Like get him out of my life. Like he takes on an. It's just if he would pick his range instead of just fluctuate. It sounds like the guy. I don't think the guy is an actor. He's only done two things.
He knows the martial arts.
However, he did find those few hallmarks of like a scene stealing villain and like in a movie like this or just an 80s movie to where it's like super like grandiose, super over the top and his delivery and stuff.
It doesn't, his performance doesn't take you out of the movie.
Yeah. And
it's secondary
to what makes him menacing really is this martial arts he teaches his, you know, if we could say his foot soldiers to where it's a by any means necessary, like mm-hmm. if you have to kill them type thing.
It's,
you know,
it's
as
a
much
more,
as you can say that in a kid's
it's
movie.
The more lethal version of Grandpa's martial art, because Grandpa taught him how to do that, which creates the main conflict of the movie, which is these kids love their grandpa.
Yeah.
They love they love learning karate. They love being ninjas. Mm-hmm. Their dad doesn't like it. Their mom, that's her dad.
Right.
Yeah. So she's like, that's my dad. Like, my kids love it. They love spending time with their grandpa. And they, you know, Snyder visits grandpa on his compound where the kids are training. They're training. You foreshadow stuff like light up the eyes and a lot of things that they're learning.
They fight some of his flunkies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they fight some of Snyder's flunkies.
Which is really the first part that we see them actually. Well, and you can actually tell that the kids do have martial arts.
That's one of the things that's great about these is for the most part, maybe except for I don't think in Kickback, the second one, they change Rocky and Tum Tum.
Yeah,
they still have the same Colt, but in this and in High Noon at Mega Mountain and Knuckle Up, the kids know martial arts.
But they go back to where they're at and they're like, who's that guy that Grandpa was talking to in Snyder? Yeah. And they know that Snyder's a bad guy.
They know he's a bad guy.
So then they're like, Tum Tum has a line that I said today, and I say occasionally, I can't believe Grandpa's a bad guy. Only because of the way he says, I can't believe Grandpa's a bad guy.
When the brothers see that that Snyder is the bad guy that their dad's looking out for, and they see that their grandpa used to be business partners with them.
They see a framed photo of Grandpa's wife and Snyder, and they're like, he's one of the bad. So the main conflict is Grandpa's one of the bad guys. Like, how do we reconcile this?
How do we keep carrying on doing this thing that we love?
Yeah, it's such a child's perspective on something where they don't, as an adult, what do you think? You should go ask Grandpa and ask him instead of just assuming it, like, because Colt and Tum Tum immediately are just like, well, I guess he's bad.
Yeah.
And they just like, kind of give him up for dead. Like,
guys, you need to think, like,
guys, we don't know
the dynamics of the kids.
Yeah.
Each kid has a separate personality and they do a really good job of conveying.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job.
There's
I agree.
Nothing to where it's like, Colt and Rocky are interchangeable in this part. Like, you don't need Tum Tum. Like, Rocky's the headstrong.
He's a good leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
But then like the kids.
Colt's brash.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And Max Elliott Slade does a good job with that.
Yes. I'd say he's probably the best out of all the
this
kids.
This is the only Three Ninjas movie where I didn't want to throttle Tum Tum. But and meanwhile you've got Snyder who they're the ninja's dad, like we said, is an FBI guy and he's trying to take down Snyder and Snyder wants to. He's realizing, he's not getting off my back, and so he kidnaps the kids, and then you've got.
Well, he basically wants to use the grandpa to train his soldiers is what he wants to do, right? So that he can better utilize them against the boy's dad. It's a very tangled web.
What a tangled web we weave.
It's not a mindless like beat 'em up movie for kids.
There's an actual conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do like how they get because part of that are the three surfer bums.
Yes,
that's great because I was gonna say at some point we have to talk about Fester and his buddies because it's the best part of
because
the movie.
The dialogue with the kid, the kids are the most interesting part. The adults I notice are kind of like super like one dimensional in
because,
a way.
Yes, they are.
Mine is grandpa.
Yeah.
And Snyder. I mean,
they're NPCs.
Yeah,
as you said earlier.
Like Snyder. Like these are people like pretty run of the mill. Mm-hmm. Like paint by numbers. Like. Parents and paint by numbers like villains.
Like
it's almost
the mom
like
the is basically
wah,
not
wah.
There.
Like, it's like it's like Charlie Brown's conveyor.
Yeah, dad is a no nonsense FBI agent, as all FBI agents are.
Of course.
And grandpa's great because also
good.
Grandpa's great. Victor Wong, I love Victor Wong.
I love Victor Wong. He's
Egg Shin
in Big Trouble in Little China.
He's great.
Make it feel like Dirty Harry. The adults that are actually interesting are the three surfer bums who are and probably I would say the part on the boat is great as far as how they use their surroundings to fight.
Yeah.
The best part of the movie is they have a babysitter.
By far.
They have a babysitter and
you could tell the writers and the filmmakers actually were like, this is where we get to kind of cut loose and have a good time with
because,
the story.
Because there's not much difference in maturity between the kids and the...
Right.
I would even say the kids are more level-headed.
Probably more mature.
But the surfers interact with the kids. It's like two kids interacting with each other. It's like, where are you, little idiot?
I think what's... Oh, sorry, Steven.
No, I was going to say real quick, Snyder's assistant, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
It's his nephew, Fester. Yeah. And
if you mess this up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to kill you.
His name's Festin, but his I don't know Fester dude. Him and his burnout buddies.
Yeah, call him Fester.
We first see them in a gas station.
I was gonna ask you that. I was like, he's clearly calling him Festin.
Yeah, Festin. Yeah. If you mess this up this time,
but they
I'm
have they
to kill
yeah,
you.
But him and his buddies refer to him as Fester.
Fester.
Yeah. But in this gas station, which is funny because we just see him as these three like you know surfer dudes of the early
Airheads.
90s. Like
you see
Slurpee.
Dude.
You see them like what looks like they're ogling like the classic like
surfer babes.
They have it like sideways and they're holding a magazine long ways. It's like I would totally thrash some major waves with this girl
With
this baby. And it's like they're looking at a surfboard. So haha, there's risque, but it's a surfboard.
Yeah.
But like they're like the guy behind the counter is like, hey, if you guys don't buy anything, you're gonna have to leave. And he's like, go find some epic snack cakes.
Yeah,
and go over there, go get some righteous Doritos.
Yeah,
get some salsa, none of the green stuff. And he's like, dude, he's like, are you my good man? Open up the cash register.
Yeah,
dude, we're sticking you up.
Yeah. That's the thing is like
us three boneheads.
Yeah, because Andrew and I laughed like at different points in this window of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we're both like. They're not bad guys.
No.
They're idiots.
They're stupid. Yeah. They're even nice, like a lot of suggestions.
One of them
like when they have the piece like, you know, maybe these kids, maybe we should save some pizza for these kids we nap it.
probably pretty cool kids.
It's, you know,
they're probably pretty nice kids.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because they're probably getting paid.
They're just idiots that want
quick money to buy surf stuff and Slurpees.
But part of what's clever and what's funny is one of my favorite things to do in comedy to where it's this intense situation that could be presented, like, even though it's three dummies like doing this, like somebody getting held up. That's scary.
Yeah.
But like he gets like Fester gets a beep. And he's like, "Excuse me, sir. Could I please use your telephone?"
and when he puts his gun down,
like that's just so that's so clever.
At one point, when they invade the house and towards the end of the fight, when the three ninjas are just kicking their asses, Tum-Tum gives them laxative in the soda. Yeah,
instant diarrhea.
And he gives it to him, and it hits the points where the kids are like cornered, and the two lackeys, the two bums that
are not Fester.
Yeah, that are not Mark, Fester.
Marcus and Hammer.
Like it's starting to hit them that they're like, I gotta take a big dump.
I gotta take a major dump.
Big time. Fester's trying to balance three guns. Like, okay, nobody move. Now, where's your little brother?
Which that is something that would not happen today, by the way.
No.
Is guns on kids.
Yeah.
No. That would not happen. Never. Like, you would not be as, like, as, I mean, watching this in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silly movie.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a goofy, silly movie that's made for kids. But
you didn't think about it. You're like, it's a kid's movie. There's no way this is any sort of menace. It's just silly.
But the fact that they have guns several times, not just them, but like the ninjas carry guns.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't make this movie nowadays just due to
the
aversion.
Snyder loses the fight and he's just like, fuck it. And he's going to shoot Grandpa.
Yeah, he's going to shoot Grandpa and probably the kids. I mean,
and then also
inferred.
The amount of karate and dangerous situations that are done. And just, I mean, it's violent. If we look at it, like, it's a violent movie.
Yeah.
However, it's counteracted with cartoonish sound effects.
Yes.
Right.
So it helps kind
of
soften the blow.
In the version I watched on Prime.
We'll get to that here in just a second.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I didn't even notice it until Steven texted. He's like, oh, yeah. And also during the fights, there's no sound effects. So I was like, I didn't even notice
the international version.
Yeah.
But with Fester and his buddies, it's all the – we have several moments where we're following them, following the kids, like, before they even, try to kidnap them.
Yeah.
And, like, one of them
staking
is –
staking out the
property. Yeah, they're following the kids as, like, they're the kids are going to school, first day of school. Uh-huh. And one of the best parts, they're like, whoa. Cool. Like the kids are doing like tricks on their bikes.
Yeah, they're being kind of like mesmerized
down
by the kids.
Like, it's like, whoa, cool.
and then it's like, and they're about to kidnap the kids the night before school.
Yeah.
And like, they see like the dad pull up. And I love how it's like, well, gentlemen, tomorrow is another day and those dudes are ours. Slurpee.
Yeah.
And then like,
well,
and then also before this, like, we want you to kidnap some kids. Would this just be any kid? Would this be any kids? Do you have any specific kids in mind?
Like, any kids? Do you have any specific kids in mind?
One the fact the that they're just
lines,
willing to do it.
It's like, oh, so you want to just grab some kids?
Yeah. No questions asked. Yeah. Okay.
I will side note, I texted you guys earlier and I wish, because Steven and I used to live behind a 7-Eleven, in an apartment complex behind a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
I was like, wouldn't that be cool if we all were drinking Slurpees while recording this?
While we were doing this.
But
yep.
That's okay.
But they show up and they the kids have a babysitter and they like throw pizza.
We didn't order any pizza.
Some kids called it in.
Let us in or we'll TP your house.
Yeah.
And then they're chuckling to one another.
Yeah.
But then they get in there and then the whole fight scene is like the kids pretty much using their surroundings and like it's slapstick, which never goes out of style.
Nope.
But also there's also some quotes where it's like, we don't want to hurt you. We just want to kidnap you.
No.
Robbers!
Robbers! I thought we were kidnappers. We are!
Where are you, little idiot?
I say that probably once a week.
Yeah.
Looking for my kids.
Yeah.
To clarify, probably looking for like a spatula or something.
Yeah.
Where are you, little idiot?
But it's like, so great.
But it's like these characters are so indelible that like then we still quote it.
Yeah.
But it's
I think one of the most memorable scenes to me, I don't know why, but this always stuck with me. There are two or three scenes whenever I think of this movie, I think of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the when Marcus and Hammer are coming down the stairs.
Yeah.
And Colt starts throwing
CDs.
Like they were ninja stars. Yeah. And I thought that was so cool as a kid.
Yeah.
And it's just indelible. Like every time I think of this movie, that's the first scene I think of. I don't know why, but I just think of it. I just immediately.
My nose is always is already messed up. What do you say, dude? Watch the nose. It's gnarly already.
It's gnarly already. Yeah.
And then like Tum Tum's making smoke, like making like the pepper bombs to throw at him.
Yep.
And then like you mentioned the laxative.
Yeah.
And intertwined with all of that, it's just
over.
But the thing is, the kids aren't like they kind of freak out when Colt's like. The good news is. They took out the babysitter and like, all right. The bad news is they got guns. Like that's
and that 90s goom zang sound. Yeah. It's such a 90s thing.
Plus, I mean, Fester points it out, but whoa, cool room.
Yeah, cool room.
Got a cool room.
But which Andrew,
if I was a little booger, where would I be?
It's funny. Our brother. And this is a side note. You can cut this. It was just I thought it was funny that that's the thing I think he laughed at the most. It's like, well. Cool room. It's just this convergence of these guys aren't that bad, and it is a cool 90s room.
Yeah.
Besides that one moment where Colt, like, you know, gets scared, they're pretty much cool and composed the whole time because I think they learn pretty early that, like, the guys are stupid. And they can outwit them and outsmart them.
Yeah.
And that's appealing to kids, too,
when,
like, you show these kids who are calm, cool, and collective doing karate and outsmarting
adults.
Like adults.
That's
the
so
Home Alone
appealing.
Crowd.
It's the Home Alone
crowd. That's so
appealing. There's a whole, there's a bevy of movies like that in the 90s.
The fact that kids can be competent.
Yeah, exactly. Boys will be boys with Randy Travis.
No. Yeah. but it's just, it's when you don't treat kids like they're dumb.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when the kids are the smartest out of everyone, and when the kids are able to hold their own, when the kids are able to say the funny lines and to do the funny things.
Yeah.
But eventually when they do get kidnapped by Brown and Tanaka, one of the funny things to me is they're not like like freaking out. Like Colt tries to like kick Tanaka, who's like an avalanche of a human being, and he pulls him up, and he's holding him upside down, and Rocky and Tum Tum are just kind of just rolling their eyes at Colt trying to take him out, and Colt's like, "You want me to drive?" Like, it's just something like that. It's like the music part of the score ends, and then it's just kind of the punchline.
Yeah. In the version I watch, Fester comes out from around the corner. He's like, "Uncle." Are you still going to pay us?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's so strange.
Are we
to
still
me
getting paid?
Because,
I think it's something
like because
that.
Because you mentioned there's an alternate version that just started streaming probably a little under 10 years ago, like on Hulu, that never saw the light of day. The international version, some of the things there are scenes put in.
It's more violent.
It's more violent because the cartoon sound effects weren't put in there. And it's actually on Amazon.
Yeah.
And that's what you ended up watching.
Which I didn't realize until I was watching it because I thought I had the physical copy, but I forgot that it was over here at your place.
Hey, I forgot too.
Yeah. And I bought it on Prime and we were just watching it. And there was just, like, I've watched this movie so many times that when something is off, there's a trigger that goes
off.
I'm like, something, I don't think that was in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were just here and there, and there were things I was like, maybe I'm just not remembering it correctly.
Right.
Just some extended things here and there. But during the basketball scene, because bullies take Emily's bike and they try to win them back in a basketball game.
This is in between them getting kidnapped and them coming back from grandpa's house.
Yeah, they don't. It's not like they're on the boat. They're like, sir, we have school tomorrow.
Basketball. We have a basketball game.
It's not like Escape from L.A. to where
little basketball.
It's not like Escape from L.A. where Snake Plissken needs to play basketball.
Play for your life.
Yeah.
but in the basketball game, they lose.
Yeah. In the version that like the U.S. version.
Yeah.
They win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lose. And it's there. A teacher comes in and like steps in, and I was like, okay, this was definitely.
Wow.
I definitely don't remember this.
Yeah.
And the teacher doesn't say anything. It's just some random teacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a teacher comes in and like separates them because obviously Colt's about to go off.
Yeah.
And that's an extended scene. It's mostly like extended fights.
Yeah.
And there's the occasional like Fester, like, are we still getting paid?
Yeah. That's
a question. Do they have Is the music all restored as well? Is it still the same music as what's in the movie?
As far as I recognize,
I feel like
it's
the opening
the
narration is a little different too, because
my
the,
brothers
the,
and I
the opening uh-huh. and closing narration are the boys like giving yeah. a rundown of like yeah. who they are and where they're at and what's going on.
There were yes. definitely some things at the beginning on the compound that I'm like, this feels a lot. This scene feels yeah. longer
because I feel like. Rocky's inflection with because yeah. he corrects them. He's yeah. like, my brothers and I.
Me and my brothers. Yeah. My brothers and I.
And I feel like it's different in the extended because I started yeah. I watched like the first 5 minutes and then yeah. I saw I have the DVD. So yeah. I put that in. And it yeah. tricked me out too, where I was like, this seems different.
After not having watched it
yeah.
for years, the first time I watched it with the kids. I think it was, or maybe mm-hmm. it was a couple times ago. I did not realize the sound effects were there. Mm. And the music, yeah. I don't remember it being so lighthearted. Like,
really?
I remember it just being more, not dour, but like, yeah, I remember yeah. it not being like, you know, because yeah. there's not, different at different
yeah,
points.
Yeah.
It's just very friendly and just kind of like, yeah. oh, you know, like, because the music sets the tone for movies. Yeah. So, like, if it's. I don't know. It just didn't feel like watching it now and hearing the music. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, there's not near as much danger because yeah. the music is light.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't remember that at all when I first watched yeah. it as yeah. a kid.
That's funny.
I was like, I would have figured I would have remembered that. Cause
right.
But maybe it's just because you're mm-hmm. a kid and you don't pay attention mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, the stakes are raised anyway.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're a kid. But I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's
it's
so
just very odd.
Because mm-hmm. that's never like I always envision like. Kind of silly kids music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that. It's the thing is, it's not too many noteworthy things. Like, it's mostly like extended fights, and by extended,
yeah,
it's you can see where the cut was.
Yeah.
Like were they there's like something I recognized, and then like walking to something, or like during one of the fights, the fight in the boiler room, mm-hmm. how.
In the boat, Snyder's boat.
In the boat,
yeah.
yeah.
When they get to
it,
the boat,
you
yeah.
get it cuts to Tum Tum in the version we're familiar with, and he's like doing the cartoonish wind up,
yes.
to punch. It's the extended scene is literally a ninja like grabs him, walks him down the steps.
Oh wow!
And Tum Tum just kind of complies and kind of is rolling his eyes, mm-hmm. and then like headbutts him.
Ah,
and then I was like, wow. This is where the scene takes place. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. this is where. It starts in the stuff I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that stuff, extended fights. It's more violent.
Yeah.
There's one thing that was particularly harrowing.
Oh, really?
That, like, this whole time they escape their chambers in the boat, and they're just going throughout the boats mm-hmm. and kicking ass and stuff like that. And they get in the hallway, and Grandpa gets in the hallway
mm-hmm.
and
because Grandpa's yeah. been tracking Snyder
yeah.
and Grandpa's
and
gonna
he
go
knows
save
where
the
boat
yes.
is and he's
and
gotten on the boat
they're yeah. under the impression that Grandpa's a bad guy like mm-hmm. he's going here to help train and stuff like
yeah.
that so they see him and Colt's just like oh and Rocky's like oh there's Grandpa and Colt's like Grandpa is one of the bad guys and like Grandpa looks at them he takes out a knife and they're like they get this look on their face like oh my god Grandpa's
oh, wow.
a bad guy and he's gonna kill us. And like
wow.
Rocky is pleading with him, like, no, no, Grandpa, it's us, it's us.
Oh,
and
wow.
like the kids are like, no, 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 Grandpa. And he like throws it and they duck and there's ninjas behind them. Mm. And that's how they're like, oh, Grandpa's not
oh,
a bad guy.
Wow.
But I was like, okay, this was cut out because
yeah.
I don't remember
that's
this.
That's scary.
And, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? So I was looking at the Wikipedias and it does mention the international version
yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
And it says that they basically cut it to ensure a PG rating.
Yeah,
yeah.
If they
yeah.
would have put that in there, it could have been PG-13. Probably because
it's
terrifying for a child.
It's the kids who think their grandpa's a bad guy
yeah.
and they think that their grandpa is insane
yeah.
and our grandpa's going to kill us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just Rocky pleaded, like, Grandpa, it's us, kind
yeah.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the thing to
yeah.
where they duck and there's ninjas behind
yeah.
them.
I thought maybe you were going to say you could tell the cuts because it was really clear and then went super grainy.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah. it's like when you watch deleted scenes
yeah.
or extended scenes
yeah,
and it's clearly – it's still in the editing bay because it's got like the timeline on the bottom.
They forgot to switch out their stand-ins. So yeah, one like Tum Tum's a little person, like a 25-year-old little person.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Grandpa, no!
No, Grandpa!
But on a kick your ass, bitch!
But like on the ship, there are some parts where if you watch it as an adult now, you kind of like... You roll your eye like
they would have broke their hand.
Yeah, you're still like no way. Why did they like? There's a scene where the kids dispatch of the ninjas.
Yeah,
and then they find themselves inside this training room to where this earlier like Snyder's ninjas were practicing.
You get a trailer moment in there.
Yeah, we should run. We should hide. We should kick their butts.
Yeah, it's a great trailer moment. Yeah, by the way.
And when they get into the training room, it's like. Colt comes in and goes to one side.
Yeah.
Rocky comes in and goes to one side. Just the way they're moving.
Yeah, and then Tum Tum jumps in.
The shot, too, just all their backs to each other.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, great. Oh, like, it's so neat. Cool.
And when you're a kid, you're like, that's me and my friends.
I want to do that. Yeah, exactly.
But like, they're
taking
out like the ninjas, like a whole swarm of them. And it's like the one at a time type thing that people always throw out at action movies. But then Grandpa shows up. So on the regular theatrical release, they see that Grandpa shows up.
Yeah.
And like... Part of it is Tanaka comes out because the kids like beat up the ninjas and then they go behind this curtain and then they start backing away because Tanaka shows up and
the big heavy
and they're punching and kicking at him and Grandpa's like light up the eyes boys because it harkens back to earlier he talks about the seven pressure points which is a cool
word Victor Wong,
it's a
by
cool
the way.
Oh, thank you. It's a cool...
Cultural appropriation.
Shut up. It's a clever workaround to show that little kids could take out this big baddie by using pressure points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so each time they hit Victor, each time they hit Tanaka in a spot, it flashes back to the dummy with its eyes
that's
lighting
very
out.
Well done.
Yes,
which is really, really cool and shows that that's how these little kids beat this huge mountain of a man.
Yeah.
And then, like, Grandpa... flips down off like Snyder comes in and Grandpa like flips off the little balcony he was at.
Victor Wong did his own stunts.
No, he didn't.
And it's the stunt man that is him though. Yeah. Pretty well. I mean, you can
they
tell
at least
in
edit in a way that you're
the compound. Yeah. You can kind of tell.
Yeah,
but on the boat, it's very well done.
It's
almost seamless. I would say.
It's definitely easier that he's all decked out ninja gear. But he comes down and like. The kids think that let's keep because like more ninjas show up and you can tell they're worn out and they're like they start to pose again and the ninjas pull out handguns and then they put their hands up but then Grandpa flips down and in a moment as an adult where you roll your eyes like. I was like, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot him out of the air.
But I do like when he drops down, he's like, hello, boys.
Yeah.
Like,
hello, Grandpa. I love that.
That's when they realize that he's a good guy and he's there to save them.
Yep.
And then, like, the fight.
There's that familial tell.
It's the idea of the whole overarching thing that Grandpa wants to get across to them is – your karate and your ninja training is to be used. I mean, it's all martial arts. It's used as self-defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but you know,
discipline is in there.
Discipline.
Yeah.
I'm giving you wisdom. It's, and he said, four strands of rope, three strands of rope,
four strands of
to
rope.
To where you as brothers and me, your bond with each other and your bond with me can't ever be broken.
Yeah.
So you watch each other's back. I'll watch your back. I'll be there for you. You be there for each other. And it's really the wisdom and the discipline that comes with karate or ninjutsu, not the fact that you can beat the shit out of people.
Yeah.
I'm not training you to beat the shit out of people.
Yeah.
So that's why that's part of like, Rocky being the cooler head and Colt being kind of the wild horse that can't be tamed.
Colt,
like
calm down.
Colt's the Raphael of the group.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew said that yesterday.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, Colt's definitely Raph.
Yeah,
he's like, definitely from the movies. Sure. Yeah. But like, it's all these things that come into play, which I really like that when you establish something earlier and it comes into play later. That's all I ask in storytelling.
Yep.
That don't just leave stuff hanging. Don't just leave gaping plot holes. But I mean, even the fight between Snyder and Grandpa, it's kind of frightening in ways. But essentially,
the kids, you can tell they're kind of like, Yeah, especially when like, stop it.
Yeah.
Leave
yeah.
him alone.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's how you know it's getting bad.
Yeah. yeah. But Grandpa eventually went, and he tells him, you know, don't ever take on a fight you know you can't win or something yeah. like that.
Yep.
And Grandpa eventually just
shoves jelly beans
in Snyder's mouth. So it's a silly way.
Tum-Tum gave him jelly beans.
Right.
Five's like,
yes.
For luck.
Yeah. But and then
the small person.
They didn't cut luck, Grandpa.
I told you guys, I watched a different version. But that's just so funny that there's a difference between the two. With you saying all that stuff, I think I'd rather watch the one we all grew up with.
Sure. Agreed.
Yeah.
It was one of those I didn't turn it off because I was like, I'm already watching it.
Yeah.
But it was one, and plus I was like, this is an element I can bring into the episode, kind
of
similarities and differences.
You can appreciate it.
It's nothing noteworthy.
Sure.
It's like it's like when we tried to watch That Thing You Do extended edition for some reason.
Rough.
Yeah.
And it was mostly just extraneous scenes and the occasional one that's like, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. But most of them were not like that.
No.
Yeah.
But definitely the Fester being like, are we still getting paid?
Yeah.
And then Grandpa, no, it's us.
Yeah.
It's us.
It added a different element to it. Especially since one of the things that's brought up is you never see the fate of Fester and his cronies.
No.
No, not at all.
But it's something you just kind of, it's a kid's movie, so you just kind of shake it off. Yeah.
They bring back a similar idea of burnouts in the second one with the people who are in a band.
Yeah.
Which actually, I don't like the second one that much.
No.
That's some of the funniest
stuff. They go to,
where's my fish? Where's my fish? I think it's dead. I gotta get a new fish.
Well, the thing is,
that in the second one?
Yeah.
Oh my
god! That's like the main burnout, like rocker dude.
Part of it is in this movie, the kids are charming.
Yeah.
The Rocky and Tum Tum are likable.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the big thing is if you're going to give kids jokes, how do they deliver them?
Yeah.
And they're delivered very well.
Yeah.
You know, Tum Tum, who could easily be obnoxious, wasn't obnoxious, at least not to me.
Yeah.
They swapped
them. Or at least they cut it off at the right time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they swapped the two for the sequel. However, the third movie, Knuckle Up, was filmed after the first
one. It's a weird
timeline. But was released after the second one, which was filmed after both of them.
Yes.
So it's strange. The second one isn't as good. It has its merits.
I remember renting it quite a bit.
Yeah. Because the appeal is it's a fun kids movie where they're doing karate. Yeah.
I remember the second, like, so the second one I watched on TV a lot.
Yeah.
Because they would air it.
Yep.
I remember,
go to Japan, don't they?
Yes, they go to Japan. The two things I remember from that one are when Colt, I think they just landed in Japan and they're kind of watching. Mm-hmm. There's like an exhibition of fighters going on.
Yeah.
And Colt switches with somebody.
Yes.
Like knocks someone out or something.
Yep. Yeah.
And they're watching him. And I just thought this was so cool.
Yeah.
And they said, that looks like Colt fighting. Like
that
fighter
his
looks
style
like Colt.
Is so distinct.
But the fight too is awesome. Like,
because
actually Colt do it, the guy that the actor. And it's, man, he just looks awesome.
Yeah.
Doing it. And then sorry, that was the first one. And the second one is when they are training and it's a girl that Colt's fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And they come to find out that it's like a, I don't know, like it's Rocky's crush kind of in this one.
Yeah,
but she ends up helping train them and she's a very good martial artist as well.
There are
and
very
she,
cool elements. Like
yeah,
that, that's
she
a
shows
cool
Rocky how to run across a bridge that sinks as soon as you
that's,
touch it.
That's
a cool
really cool.
Part.
And I see all that stuff. I think the biggest thing for me
they're different
is
actors, which is jarring.
That
except
was
Colt.
That was the only thing was they were played. Rocky's not so bad. Although he did break up with Stephanie
in an episode of Full House.
Which I don't think we can go an episode without
that's
referencing
funny.
Full House somehow.
We got to do a Full House podcast.
Right.
Or Full House
something. But the thing is, Tum Tum was also in Full House. He was, I think, one of the people who antagonized Michelle.
Okay.
Oh, it was Miko Hughes?
No, not Miko Hughes.
No,
I knew you were going. Aaron is great. It's not Miko
it's
Hughes.
Not Aaron.
But the thing is, it's You took the charm of both those characters. Rocky's not bad.
He's not bad, but
I like the first Rocky.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's because I like the brothers dynamic in the first one so much.
Yeah.
Where I draw the line is this Tum Tum is obnoxious.
He is insufferable.
I think it's just his tone of voice and just also he was obnoxious in that Full House episode, so that didn't help his case.
Yeah.
Plus they tried giving him a catchphrase which was scatter.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
And then
everyone else has a catchphrase. directed towards him.
Tom.
Yeah. Or it's like Ninjanuity. Yeah. Because ew. Yeah.
Yeah, because Rocky's like, you've heard of ingenuity. Well, this is ninja.
That's too.
Then too you silly. You get
too silly.
Too silly.
Three ninjas.
This is too silly. In this movie, in the first one, you get Rocky loves Emily.
Right, but on your shirt, right? Yeah, now you're wearing a
but shirt. But then in each subsequent movie, except I don't think in Knuckle Up,
yeah,
they're like Rocky loves so and so, like Lisa, like instead of like Rocky loves
Lisa Di Marino.
Yeah, it's that, or it's like Rocky loves Jessica, or in High Noon and Mega Mountain, we did it on Sucktastic.
Yeah, it's just jarring. Like the first one, same kids.
Yeah.
Second one, different kids, except same Colt. Third one. Kids from the first, it's more bizarre. Jarring.
Fourth one, the parents and Victor Wong are the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hulk Hogan. And Ernest P. Borgnine is in it.
Yeah.
Ernest P. Worrell is in it. Yeah. But, and also
one of Ernest P. Borgnine.
this movie and the three Ninja Turtles movies are like you can't go wrong. Like no. You really can't.
Except I've never finished the third one.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, we didn't finish it. It's just like, this is so boring. It felt more like a straight to video movie.
Yeah.
Donald Logue is in it though, one of his first roles.
Is he really?
Yeah. So is Don Shanks, who played one of the worst Halloween movies, Halloween 5.
Yeah.
He played Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
But he's like a character actor. It's cool. He's a Native American.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's about like an Indian reservation.
Yeah. There is kind of a cool scene, or at least it'd be a cool if you're a kid. There's like hip hop esque music going on, and the three brothers do like a dance routine doing their martial arts.
Oh, nice.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But however you want to slice whatever sequels happen.
With a sword.
Sure. This one is excellent. And
I love
there's
this
a
movie.
Reason that it gained, even if from very early on with VHS rentals and everything, it has a cult following.
Has
for
a
very good
power.
Reason.
Oh, yeah.
It has staying power. It's loved for very good reason.
Anybody that you ask that remembers it remembers it fondly.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, Three Ninjas. They'd say, I love this movie when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
always
Steven
what it
said,
would be.
Anyone born between 1980 to like 1995 has some sort of personal memory of Three Ninjas. If you mention Three Ninjas, they're like, oh, I used to watch it all the time. I used to love it. Or,
at least the 20-year period of like video rental generation. Like,
It is
a bona fide classic for a lot of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we were happy to celebrate its 30th anniversary.
Absolutely.
Jeremy, thank you for making your regular appearance.
Yeah.
I'm always regular.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I like my bowels are irregular.
Yeah. which of course with us starting the show back up, we had to have you on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yes. Yeah. It's always a pleasure
I'm hungry.
Having you on. Yes, I am too.
But before
we leave, I want to ask real quick. So because everybody has their favorites and everybody when they would play, because you'd play Three Ninjas on the playground or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who would you be?
We played more Power Rangers than we did Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
But if I had to be a ninja,
if you had to pick one,
Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean Colt. Just because
Colt's cool too. Rocky.
Not Tom
Tom.
Yeah. But I also love
what everybody says
Colt. Yeah. Colt is the more when his delivery with things, he's the more like sly.
Yeah.
He's the more like snide.
Yeah.
He's the more
sarcastic.
He's the more sarcastic.
Sardonic.
He's the more confident.
He butts heads more with Tum Tum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's more of the come get some out of the three of them.
Yeah.
I liked Colt more.
How about Mega Dork?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And Tum Tum because he eats a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I really like that delivery.
I mean, Max Elliott Slade's pretty good kid actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was in Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Hey.
He was in Parenthood.
Yeah.
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 He was young Gil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
as
sorry.
Don't
apologize.
Don't ever need to apologize.
You're the guest.
Thank you all for listening. Jeremy, again, thank you. It is always a pleasure to have you on.
To be here, guys.
This will not be the last time.
No.
But thank you all for listening. Mm-hmm. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.